I wanted to just say something about the youth here, if I may. Can I snitch on them? I think I know what goes on in the youth ministry more than anybody else because I happen to live here, right? Well, for those of you who know, I've been here for a long, long, long time, and I have a habit of walking in the church early in the morning, like 4:30. That's my time to get up. It's always been. In the winter, I walk a lot every day. In the summertime, if it's raining or too damp or I just don't want to go out, I just come right in here in my pajamas and I walk around, talk to God, give my day to the Lord. Well, I'd like to know from the youth, who brought in a big gorilla a couple of weeks ago? Does anybody know who brought in a big gorilla 2-3 weeks ago? Do you know who? Who? Well, let me tell you, me thinks they are trying to give me a heart attack, okay? Because I walked in, and you have to remember, 4 o'clock in the morning, I don't put the lights on. I know how many steps it takes to go from the front to the back, from the back over there, because I can do it with my eyes closed. So it's dark. It's pitch black. And I start my walk with my head down. I'm coming in, talking to Jesus. And I go around. I'm coming down. As soon as I hit the front of the church, just about there, I see this silhouette in the front seat right there. I stopped dead in my tracks. And I, believe me, I wasn't laughing. I stopped. I looked. I thought, what? And I'm thinking, how did this person get in here? The doors are locked. I never heard a thing. It's dark. Like, and I can't tell you how many thoughts went through my mind in the space of 10 seconds. I thought it can't be Jesus because I know what his presence is like. And I wasn't feeling no Jesus. So I came and I didn't want to show whoever this was that I was afraid. Right? So I started walking towards it and I'm saying hello. Twice. Got a little closer. Hello. No answer. Then I'm really looking and to me, it looked like a short construction worker with construction boots on. And because the gorilla was like yay high, all brown with his paws, his big paws were cream color, beige, and his neck was beige, and his head was flopped over the back seat, his hand was on his heart, and he looked to me like a little short construction worker with boots on. Well, I got a little closer, and by the time I got here, I could see what it was. And I thought, I don't know who I need to talk to about this. But the youth, I don't know what they do in this place. I have no idea, but me thinks they're up to no good sometimes. We need to pray for them. Well, Pastor Gabe, this morning, thank you for your opening prayer as we quieted our hearts before the Lord and for the ministry, the worship ministry today. It just brought us to another place. Thank you so much. Well, we're continuing our talk on community. And if you were here last week, you heard Pastor Jason tell us he started it and told us a little bit about it and made us realize how blessed we are as a community of believers here to be called the body of Christ. We are unique in our coming together, living together, doing life together. And we saw the need of having both the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ, and the body of Christ. Both of them are so uniquely needed in our lives. And we learn through God's word that we need to do community together. I want to ask you a question before we go deeper into this community business. And I want you to answer this question in your own mind this morning. You don't have to be loud about it, but just in one sentence or two. When you first walked through the church doors, not today, but the first time you ever did, what was it you were looking for, coming for, thinking about? What did you want? Answer that in your mind. What were you looking for? What was it that you felt you needed? Or now I'm going to ask if anybody's brave enough just to stand up and tell us. One or two people. I came in because. Right on. You what? To stop in your life. You needed peace. Amen? Anybody else? What did you come for? Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Yeah, Leon. Right on. Anybody else? Praise God. Praise God. So we all come. Yes, Karoet. You wanted what? The truth. Right on. That's a good one too. Well, you know, I've been doing this for almost 50 years now. For a while I was saying 40, and then today I realized, no, it's 50. So I've heard a lot of people say different things about coming to church. I've heard some say, I wanted to do life better. I wanted to be better. I wanted to, you know, so everybody comes for different reasons. But the bottom line is, I think for most of us, we come because we're looking for change, some kind of change, or something more than what we have. Wouldn't you agree with that? We're looking for change. No more chaos. Little peace, right? No more lies. We want some truth. We're looking for change. And we're people who've experienced changes of all kinds in our lifetime. You know that. I know that. It comes in many forms. Change happens in us. Change happens to us. Change happens around us. But if there's one thing that is guaranteed, it's change in your life. This morning, how many of you changed what you were going to wear for church more than once? Right? Look at Pastor Gay. Lost his hair. What a change. The son noticed a big difference all of a sudden. But we change a lot of things. Our interests change over time. Our knowledge changes. What I was able to take in about 50 years ago is so much different than what I can take in now. Knowledge has increased, and it's unbelievable the amount of knowledge that's at our fingertips today, right? Our values and our priorities change over time too. What you may have thought was very important before may not be so important now. And as I said, our bodies change. Right? Women have changed the color of their hair time and time and time again. We like change. Sometimes we don't, depending on what kind of change. Our family relationships may change over the years. Sometimes through marriage, sometimes through death, sometimes through a new birth. Our marriage changes, can be separations or divorce, or sometimes kids just leaving the nest and parents don't know what to do with themselves, so they go through major changes. So I want us to really think about that word today. Because we may come through those doors looking for change, but Jesus has something so much bigger in mind. You know, Jesus's mind's not like ours. You know, we settle. Jesus is always looking for the best. Amen. He's looking at you and he wants the best for you, wants the best for me. And I want you to know something that is true that you need to realize, because coming to church very often may not bring the change you thought you needed. And very often people do not change as much as they thought they would. In fact, they're still dealing with same things they might have been dealing with 3, 4, 5 years ago. So I want to tell you that being in proximity to something or close to something doesn't necessarily bring change. A lot of men are here today, and I know a lot of you may like baseball, football, whatever sports you're interested in. You may go to a lot of games. And as much as you like being there and being around the players, even if you get close enough to be able to shake their hands as they come out of the, whatever you call it. Yeah. Even if you're able to do that, it's still not going to change your life. You enjoyed it while you were there. You were in proximity to all these baseball players or football players, but you didn't change. I was able to see Céline Dion three, four years ago, I believe, and I enjoyed listening to her sing in Montreal, and she shared stories while she was up there about her children, and it was interesting, very interesting, seeing where she came from and where she was at that time. And then this year went to see Josh Groban, another one that I love to hear sing, love his music, and he was about from here to there going by us in the aisle. I enjoyed that tremendously. And he shared about his dad, how his dad used to play the trumpet and hadn't for years. And Josh Groban had this huge idea to have his dad practice and practice again, and then had him play Moon River with him on the trumpet. And it was truly, truly remarkable. He's 80-some years old. But attending those things didn't change me. I didn't walk out changed in any way. So being in a place sometimes that we think may bring change may not bring the change we're actually looking for. Jesus had something quite different in mind when he started a community. First of all, he always has purpose in mind. That's the main thing, purpose for your life, purpose for mine. And Mark, I think we looked at it last week, we'll look at it again, Mark 3:14. It tells us that he appointed 12. He started community with 12 people. That's all he needed. So that, and the Bible tells us why. What was this purpose for bringing 12 people together who would eventually bring in more and bring in more, and we're here today because of that. He appointed 12 so that they might be with him. So that they might be with him, and that he might send them out eventually. He might eventually, after he was gone, send them out on their own. So 3 years of community living, being with them, and added more to the group as they followed Christ around, and he was training them, and in 3 years, he taught them what they needed to know, and then he left, amen? And then we know they continued the work, and he sent them out to keep preaching good news to the people, like we're hearing today, good news, and to see some come to Christ teaching and his truth and be healed of their diseases and to bring deliverance to the captives and all the great things that Jesus does. So Jesus just didn't come to give us some more information, whether it be about salvation or reconciliation or how to walk by faith, but he wanted them to experience not just change, but a transformation. I want you to think about that word today. Transform. Transformation. What's the difference between change and a transformation, you ask? Did you ask? No, I'm going to give it to you anyways. Well, change means something becomes different while remaining the same. Okay, like your hair. It's your hair. You can change it, make it yellow, blue, red. Right, Robert? You can make a change. You can make a change, but it's still your hair. Right? So the object of change, or the person who's going through a change, remains the same with just a few alterations. Okay, change this, change. Today, people change everything. Believe you me, you change your nose. You don't like your nose, you can go get it fixed, get a brand new one. Right? People are changing everything. People are changing from male to female. A lot of stuff is going on because people are creatures of habit, and change is what we're accustomed to. We even go on a holiday because we need a change, right? We change time twice a year. Change, change, change. God is looking to do something more than that. He doesn't want to just alter us or change a few things about us. He wants us to go through a complete transformation. Being transformed means becoming something entirely different. Hello? Entirely different. Entirely. Both in form, in function, in your role in life, in your purpose. Think about it. That's huge. That's not a little change. That's huge. And the original form cannot be just recovered like you'd recover a chair. You know, you want to change the chair, you just put a new cover over it. God wants such a transformation that he has to create a new person, a new creation. Now, I think about that. When you create something, you're making something out of what? Something you have in your mind that is not there, and you are going to now create it so that everybody can see your creation, right? And we become very creative after Jesus lives in us because we have the Creator himself that abides in our hearts. But he's looking to bring about a complete transformation in your life and mine. I want to share why I came to church at this point, because there's a reason why I'm preaching this today. I had a mental breakdown at the age of 33, and I know a lot of people know that because they've been in my church for quite a long time, but many of you may not know that at the age of 33, I had a mental breakdown. And believe you me, I mean, I'd gone through an awful lot of changes in my life. An awful lot of changes. I was at the end of my way, at the end of the rope. I was terrified, completely terrified. I didn't know if I'd ever be able to come out of this. And during this stay in the hospital, I wasn't a churchgoer at the time. I was in the hospital for 3 days and praying on my knees like I'd never prayed in my lifetime, that God would do something about my situation because I had 2 children and I needed to come out of that hospital. So something happened while I was there, and the Holy Spirit began to work. And God sort of explained to me, because my question was, when I got down to pray, how did I end up here? I never considered myself as being that slow. I was pretty sharp person. I was intelligent enough, and I couldn't imagine what in God's name could bring me to such a low place at the age of 33 years of age. So by the Spirit and being quiet for 3 days in prayer, the Holy Spirit was able to speak to my heart about my condition. And he told me 2 things. He told me, first of all, you're in the condition you're in, or in this position today, because you've done life your way, not mine. That was number one. You've made decisions without my consent or my saying yes to them. And you've always blamed everybody else for your problems rather than take the responsibility that you made the decisions in life that brought you here. That's quite a lot to learn when you're in the hospital with a mental breakdown, don't you think? But the Holy Spirit does stuff like that. Now, you have to remember, I didn't have a pastor around or a community of believers around or people around. I was alone. And I'd just come back from the East Coast and settled in Cornwall when this was going on. I felt so alone and forsaken. Yet when I left that hospital, there was something in me that knew God had touched my heart and told me what I needed to do. And he also gave me something to do when I left the hospital, which I did. And the minute I did, a miracle happened in my life. In the space of a month or two, I met him, Jesus, in my home. Again, it wasn't in a church setting. It wasn't somebody praying over me. It wasn't anything like that. I was home, and I I was at peace in my heart because I'd done what I believed in my heart. God had showed me. And I can't give you my whole testimony. It's not about that today. Today, it's about community. But I want you to know that what happened in my home at the age of 33 is that I went through a transformation. I would say within, time wasn't relevant, but I heard God in my home walk in, speak to me. I experienced something. I'm not going to get into it, but when he was through with me and he walked out and I heard him walk and I heard the door shut, my life had been revolutionized and I had been transformed from the inside out prior to ever going to a church. Now, what was my reason for going to church afterward? Because I needed to know more about the one who had just transformed my life. Now, that transformation was so real that when I laid down that day before he walked in, I was smoking like a chimney. Yeah, I know. I was smoking like... When he left my house, I never touched one again. I couldn't stop if my life depended on it. I had been asking, praying. I needed to quit. I didn't want to. And in my generation, everybody smoked. Right? No matter where you went, there was smoke everywhere. It's not like that today. But my generation, we were bad. We were bad people. So I didn't smoke. Plus, what happened was when I sort of came out of what I experienced, which was very huge, when I came out of it, I wanted to go out and tell everybody what had happened to me because I thought nobody's going to believe what I just experienced. People have to know how real, how alive God is. They need to know that he hears you when you pray. They need to know that no matter how deep you are and trouble you are, he is alive, he hears, he knows, and God can do something about it. And I needed to, because I felt nobody knew this. So I laughed when I say it today, but the reality was that I got up the next morning and I was waiting for the mailman to tell him how real Jesus was. That's how huge the transformation was in my life. So when I talk about transformation, I know it doesn't happen the same for everybody. I know that. Some people will find it some other way, but the bottom line is that that is what God wants. He doesn't want to make just a few alterations in our life, right? And he doesn't leave us in the dark as to how this happens. He explains it to us. He wants to create a new me. And he did. Because when he left, I was no longer the same, and I've never been the same since. I was totally new creature, new creation, new. Everything was new in my life. And for me to fully understand it, it explained it, if you know John 3:3, you must be born again, okay, start all over, a new creation. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God, to be able to understand the kingdom of God, to be able to walk in the spirit of the living Christ. You have to have a new beginning, a new birth. That was one way, one explanation. If you've never looked at it, you can look at it today in the Word of God, John 3:3. We're not looking at that today. I'm going to use another method to describe what transformation means. God also uses a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, right? Do you know that a caterpillar is born with one purpose in mind? You ever seen caterpillars? They're not too much to look at, right? You don't look at them and say, oh. You sort of look down and think, whoa, what is that? They crawl around, right? And their purpose, if you look it up, is to eat and grow. Not too interesting. Don't get to see too much. Its characteristics include this. It crawls close to the ground on its belly. It's crawling. And it eats almost continuously, a little bit like us. Okay? Eats continuously. It has limited vision. Who wouldn't? Down there on your belly. I mean, you can't see too much. It certainly can't fly, right? And it lives a relatively confined existence. It's got to be boring. I wouldn't wish it. I don't think anybody'd wish to be a caterpillar. And its body is designed only for that kind of a life. Just like your body and my body were designed for this planet, for this earthly planet we live on. We're made for this planet, for Earth. We came from the Earth and we live here. We've been born of a man, a woman, and we live on this planet. If we were to go anywhere else, if we were to go to the moon, you couldn't go with what you got on right now. You'd have to put on something appropriate that would keep you standing up there and not just floating off into the air. So God knows if we are going to be walking with him, we need a different body. We need a different mind. We need a different heart. We need a transformation from who we are to what God wants to create us to be. Doesn't that make sense? Are y'all quiet because you're falling asleep or because you're listening? Okay. That caterpillar is going on and on his way. Yeah, boring, boring, boring. It keeps going and eats again like three times a day. A little bit like we do. You know, what a boring life to think there'd be more to life than what we got, right? You know, there's got to be more, right? It probably goes through his mind. I don't know, but if I were him, that's probably what I'd be thinking. What a long, drawn-out procedure this is, a process this is. But all of a sudden, something happens. After it reaches maturity, something remarkable is taking place, and it's a hidden work, something nobody can see. And you know what that caterpillar does? He attaches himself to a leaf. And before he does, he looks for a safe place for this. It's almost like when a dog is about to give birth to pups. They look for a quiet place or they look for a comfortable place to go. They sort of sense something is about to happen. So it's the same with the caterpillar. He looks for a safe place to go because he senses something. So he attaches himself to a leaf or to a vine. And then a protective casing starts to form around him. It's like a cocoon. We call it a cocoon. And from the outside, if you were walking by, it appears that nothing's going on, but you have no clue what's taking place on the inside of that cocoon right now. No idea. Unbelievable. A miracle. Inside, one of God's most astonishing works is taking place, just as happens when you're having a transformation by the Holy Spirit begin in your life. Most of the caterpillar's body starts to break down. Mental breakdown. I see a lot of stuff when I read the Bible. Most of the caterpillar's body breaks down into a nutrient. Rich cellular mass. A bunch of cells start working together at the same time. And a group of specialized cells that have been present in him when he was caterpillar begin building an entirely new body. That's what's going on in that cocoon that you and I can't see. We may go by and see that on a leaf. Next time you see one, stop and look. Maybe by the grace of God, you'll see it when it actually breaks open and it comes out looking like a butterfly. These cells develop wings, compound eyes to see. I mean, I wasn't seeing too much before. Long legs, not crawling, long legs, antenna, an antenna. Does anybody know what an antenna is? If you were around in the 50s, we all had antennas on our television sets. Remember that? You had to move the antenna around and the picture would disappear. You'd take the antenna and move it from one place to another. He develops an antenna on his head. You ever wonder what he needs an antenna for? Yeah, Sue. What? I've got 5 minutes left. That's impossible. I didn't start. Well, I didn't start. I've only got one scripture that I read. What am I going to do, Lord? Well, listen to me. That old crawling creature is literally being reorganized by God. Scientists call what happened to that caterpillar a metamorphosis. That's what they call it, metamorphosis. It's the same Greek word that you and I will find if we look at the scriptures in the Bible that tell us what we need and what we have to go through. It's the same meaning in the Greek. You and I need a metamorphosis. We need the Holy Spirit to come and create in us a new heart. Amen. Then the body comes into play because then we come to the body of Christ where we learn to mature, change, and we find that God has changed us from the inside out, where we used to think going to church was a duty we had to perform. Now all of a sudden we can't wait for Sunday morning because we're going to be hearing the Word of God and it's going to be giving us wings. I mean, it just gives us that energy we need to face whatever it is we have to face that week, right? Right? That's what we need. We need a transformation. In the Song of Solomon, in verse 4 and 11, Solomon is speaking to the bride. And you know that that butterfly quits eating what it finds on the road, and it starts to fly now, and it goes from flower to flower, and now it's drinking nectar. Hallelujah. Drinking nectar, the good stuff, you know. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine the change? And can you imagine what that butterfly can see that that caterpillar couldn't? Can you imagine the horizons that have opened up to him with this new antenna and these eyes that can see all over the place? And now he can just go from flower to flower and smell and drink the nectar. In the Song of Solomon, it talks about us, the bride of Christ, and it says we have nectar under our tongue because we've eaten the good stuff. We've taken in the good stuff. That's why we can come up here and share with you all that the Lord has done. And everything we say is to motivate you to want more, right? It's how we come to church, to be motivated for more, because we should never be satisfied with what we have. We should always want more of God, more time with the Holy Spirit, more time in prayer, more of what causes us to rise up higher and higher and to see what God has put out there for each one of us and to have the strength. The butterfly finds the strength when he starts, his wings are tucked in, and then all of a sudden he produces a fluid that causes his wings to move and to cause him to go where he wants to go. And that move, I believe, is the Spirit of God for us, because without the Holy Spirit, you and I would not be able to see or to have or to observe, or we wouldn't even understand the things of the Spirit. You know why? Because a natural man cannot understand the things of a spirit. He has to be spiritually alive. And that comes through God bringing a transformation into your life and mine. And then we need the body. This is what community and the Spirit is all about. Then we come together here and we share. We share our stories. We share God's word. We learn what it is to be humble and vulnerable and real and authentic and tell each other where we've been. And it's no problem for anyone who's born of the Spirit to come up and tell you they have had a mental breakdown. You know, when people get up here and they come to get baptized, that's what they do. They come up and they say, you know, God got a hold of my life. I used to be a drug addict. I used to be an alcoholic. I used to be this. I used to be that, you know. And we see now that this is, something's happened. And it's the Holy Spirit who has begun this beautiful work inside of them that causes them to be real. Amen. And then God heals all our souls' diseases. And let me tell you, I'm going to close with that thought today. We have diseases that need a lot of healing. We used to sing in my day, in my generation, 50 years ago. We used to sing a song called, No, Not One. There's no other friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Who can heal all my soul's diseases? No, not one. No, not one. No one knows all about my struggles, but he does, and he'll work until the day is done. There's no other friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. That's why we need the community of belief. I can't believe the time has gone by. I just cannot believe this. I've got about 8 scriptures, Pastor Gabe. Yeah, I'm going to look at them. I'm going to have to do better in the other service. Lord, help me. Lord, help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want to close with this thought today. If what I said just happens to hit a chord somewhere and you feel, man, I need this. I need a transformation, not just a little adjustment or a little bit of an alteration. I need for God to give me a transformation. I want to pray with you if that's you. I'm going to stand right there. I know others will stand up here if you have prayer requests or you want prayer for something else, you can go there. But if you're looking for a transformation, I'd like to be the one to pray with you today. It would be an honor for me to do so. God bless you all. Thank you.